knock upon my door.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and that's Robert Johnson. 1911, he was born on this day, and that is Me and the Devil Blues. Well, some people might say with the FCC ruling, they could be singing that stuff right now. But we're going to talk about that in the next bunch of minutes here with our guests. We are here with Dr. Jared Ball, Associate Professor of Media Studies in the School of Global Journalism and Communication at Morgan State University. He can be found online at imixwhatidlike.org, and for years was also had his own program on Pacifica that everybody listened to. We're with Todd O'Boyle, Program Director of the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause, and Brent Skorup, who is Research Fellow at the Mercatus. Did I say that right? Mercatus?
Mercatus.
Mercatus Center at the George Mason University. Good to have all three of you with us. So let's jump into this right away. I mean, do we have that clip to play? Are we ready? One second, we're not quite ready. Okay, we'll play that clip in just a moment. But what I've been reading about what's going on at the FCC is that the ruling that was supposed to will kind of come out on May 15th, that they'll then vote on at the end of the year, which gives people plenty of time to talk about it over the next bunch of months and to push what they believe, would make it so that the big telecom companies like Comcast, Verizon, AT&T can charge providers of internet content. Whether you're Google or whether you're Jared Ball, and for who can afford the special faster lanes, and going after this kind of very unfortunate word that people are talking about, net neutrality, because I think most people don't understand what net neutrality really means, because it's such an awkward term. But talk to us about what you think all this means and what this ruling just meant, because I think people are not aware of the immensity, the depth, intensity of this particular ruling. Todd?
Sure. Well, morning, Mark, and thanks for having me.
Good morning.
Net neutrality is basically internet freedom. It's the idea that internet users should be able to connect to the content or the service or the application of their choice without some big corporate internet service provider playing gatekeeper. So what this means in practice is that you have non-discriminatory access to any website you might visit or any service you might use, whether it's Netflix.com, whether it's the Mark Steiner podcast.org, or whether it's CommonCause.org, we're concerned that any proposal to allow fast lanes online will create an internet for the 1% and with slow lanes for the rest of us. And so it's deeply concerning when you look at the implications here, because we do know that the internet's had such a transformative impact on the way that we connect and communicate, and frankly, in the way that we organize ourselves and people inform themselves.
So let me go next to Brent. Brent Skorup. I mean, I think this, when I was reading, as I was studying and reading this, I mean, it does seem it's going to change the entire nature of how we've come to think of the internet and our use of it and our access to it and people's access to our work.
In some ways, but this shift towards priority has been happening for over a decade. I mean, large companies are building their own private networks to ensure companies like Google and Yahoo and others are building private content delivery networks and fiber backbone that ensures that their products get to consumers faster. So this is, in some ways, just a trend in what's happening anyways.
Jared Ball.
Well, you know, and actually one of the reasons why I just went back to Pacifica is that I think that one of the things that I think that your show is emblematic of is that we have to find ways of maintaining public spheres and spaces where people can have conversation offline and in pre-existing so-called traditional media, because I've never thought that the internet was this playing field leveler. And I think increasingly so, we're seeing that it's not been that way, and it's getting it's trending away from that more and more with these kinds of decisions and these efforts that have been going on for several years that have required people to get mobilized to blunt that. In other words, that we shouldn't give up on traditional forms of communication like terrestrial radio. And I've even advocated for the traditional use of the rap music mixtape for the same purpose, because the internet, as attractive as it is, has been shown to further group us separately, to create greater cavernous gaps between different communities and political affiliations. And as we're seeing now, is getting to the point where the major telecom companies have said in their own language, and I'm speaking in the reporting of Joe Torres and Malkia Cyril, who I think are my generation, sort of part of the leadership in exposing what's going on here and keeping us aware. As they have pointed out, the telecom companies have said they want editorial control over the internet in the way that newspaper publishers had editorial control of the content of their newspapers. And, you know, as the internet becomes more of a core and central medium for all forms of communication and commerce, et cetera, this is going to have, I think, an even a worse impact than the kinds of harmful outcomes we've seen in traditional forms of media ownership and other segments of our media environment. So I think people need to become more aware of this issue and become more involved and put this in more appropriately in the political context of social movements of political struggle and so on, and incorporate this into their effort in those avenues and those areas.
So let me do that, and let me go to Brent and go right back to Todd very quickly. Because I heard what you said, Brent, before we turned to Jared. And even though you're saying this has been trending, but what seems to me what the FCC is doing at this moment is codifying, and I'm going to use a kind of, I guess, a word that some people might think fits, but in some levels, an apartheid of our internet service and a domination by the corporate media that's going to be codified now, not just something that's trending, but, you know, when President Barack Obama, we'll play his clip in a little bit, was running for president in 2007, he made it very clear he was for net neutrality, but everything that's going to the FCC is going the other way.
Yeah, well, I think apartheid is a little too provocative for what's going on.
Maybe so, maybe not.
If you get triple play from your cable company, so if you get voice, video, and internet, you're receiving a managed service, a priority service, which is your phone service. And no one regards that as a bad thing. That's more competition for the phone companies. People don't realize that if your cable phone is a totally different network than traditional phone networks, that's priority service, and that's what these companies are trying to do. And the problem, I mean, it's I guess not really a problem, but the FCC is trying to regulate broadband providers according to the 96 Telecom Act, which you never conceived of the internet that we have today. So they're trying to force regulations that Congress never intended, and that's why twice the court has struck down what they've tried to do.
Actually, I think it's really important here to make clear that this is a tremendous step backwards. And, you know, while the courts have struck down particular kinds of rules, they have never struck down the authority of the FCC to protect consumers and guarantee the ability of end users to connect, communicate, organize. In fact, this is just about putting the protections that have made the internet the transformative reality that it is, codifying them. We need to codify that. We should not be codifying paid discrimination. And let's be clear, a fast lane online for the few is paid discrimination, and that's something that every listener should be up in arms about. And I would encourage anyone that's concerned to go to commoncause.org/openinternet or safetheinternet.net. This is absolutely something that should be bridging the divide. I heard my co-panelists mention Malkia Cyril and Joe Torres, great people. And, you know, we all want to be lifting up a media ecosystem that connects and includes all people regardless of geography or station in life. And that should be something that we should all be rallying around, not a way to make our communications media, our vital communications media, the province of the few. That would be a tremendous step backwards, foreclose untold amounts of innovation, and really hamstring the ability of advocates to organize and folks to, you know, connect and get the word out. But the encouraging thing is that the FCC has heard from everyday people. They have heard from hundreds of thousands, I think is the latest tally, have contacted the FCC directly. There are people encamped out front of the FCC, occupying the FCC, saying, do not create paid discrimination online. So while I recognize that we always want to lift up traditional media, terrestrial radio, and all of that, we also need to be protecting the openness of the internet and stopping the FCC from going down this road.
No, I think I just want to say I fully agree with that, even though what I was saying about the terrestrial media piece, why I think it's important to maintain both. But just very quickly, I think that it is the apartheid analogy is perfectly appropriate. I mean, first of all, the United for a Fair Economy group and one of their more recent reports pointed out that we're moving quickly to a society in this country where we're going to have a white minority population that's overwhelmingly in control of all the resources and the wealth of the society. And as Joe Torres and Juan Gonzalez pointed out in the News for the People book, we already have a media apartheid environment where, again, a white minority is overwhelmingly in control of our ability to communicate and promote ideas and to exchange with one another. And that this step, I think, is the attempt that is being made here is just another step in that process. And, and I also think that it's important to as I think you're going to point out in this clip, that we have to be critical of where the Obama administration has been on this point. Both FCC commissioners appointed under this administration have led us more and more in this direction. And Tom Wheeler, the current chair, as a bundler and fundraiser for Obama and a former, industry investment, bigwig, this is something that he's going to want to push through. And I did just see a news blast that said that the other commissioners are saying we should pause, slow down and take some more time and reflect on this and come up with, before we vote. And I think that's in the response to the pressure that we just heard being discussed and described coming from people in the streets. But that kind of work still has to be continued.
So before we go back to Brent Scorff, because I have a question directly for what you just said a moment ago, Brent.
Sure.
But let me play this clip from President Barack Obama in 2007.
And as president, I intend to work with you to write the next chapter in the story of American innovation. That's part of the reason why I'm running for President of the United States. To seize this moment, we have to ensure free and full exchange of information. And that starts with an open internet. I will take a backseat to no one in my commitment to network neutrality. Because once providers start to privilege some applications or websites over others, then the smaller voices get squeezed out and we all lose. And the internet is perhaps the most open network in history, and we have to keep it that way.
And that was President Barack Obama in 2007 when he was first running for President of the United States. And Brent, part of the I was thinking about what he was saying is that the part of the issue, the reason that the courts sided in these couple of cases with Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, and other major corporations was because the internet's current designation is that of an information service as opposed to a common carrier, which
right.
would allow them to regulate internet providers in the same way they do other aspects of telecommunications. I mean, that to me seems to be the key issue here.
Yeah, well regarding common carriage, net neutrality is a form of price regulation. That's what common carriage is. It was a regulatory framework written to regulate the monopoly phone service that the U.S. had for decades. It's totally inappropriate for the broadband networks that we have today, which is a global network with hundreds of networks within it. And it doesn't make sense to regulate the internet the same way we regulated the monopoly AT&T network.
And Todd, your response to that, and then we'll go to Jared.
Well,
I
I've often hear this argument from our friends at Mercatus and elsewhere from that. They do have respect, but we just respectfully disagree. We have lots. The argument often goes, well, we have competition, and we don't have these old regulations that serve, that protected consumers and ensured free speech. I think it's really we need to be clear. We have lots of competing restaurants and hotels, but we still want consumer protections to make sure that you can't be discriminated against when you walk in the door. Let's be clear here. This is about who gets to pick the speech that is prioritized, who gets to pick the uses that are prioritized, and who gets to discriminate against whom. And we know that at the end of the day, we can talk about innovation, we can talk about competition, we can talk about all these things, but I think we know at the end of the day, the speech that will be discriminated against are from the alternative voices, the independent voices, from the nonprofit voices, from the folks that can't afford to pay up for a fast lane and can't afford tolls online or just simply are unpopular. And key to democratic participation is the marketplace of ideas. That's where I want competition. That's where I want a full airing where people like, you know, where this show can be streamed online and where, you know, viewpoints from Mercatus can be accessed easily on their website and where people can connect and communicate at Common Cause or with Free Press or any of our other allies in the public interest community.
Well, let me say, there has never been blocking of website in the United States by an ISP. I mean, this is a doomsday scenario. I can't imagine it ever happening for obvious reasons. I mean, the public would hate it, and it's not good for your customers if you're picking and choosing what sites to accept. I mean, there's been no interest by the ISPs in doing anything like that.
Well, because
and
we've had strong rules,
but that's not true.
We're protected against that. We've had non-discrimination rules, and we've had no blocking rules, and now we're in a never-never land. And just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't happen. And I guarantee you that there are unpopular forms of speech that could get blocked. But even if they're not blocked, let's be clear. If you put unpopular speech or you put nonprofit speech or alternative voices in a slow lane, if the FCC says it wants to guarantee something called a basic level of service. That's such a subjective term. What's a basic level of service? What's so basic as to be functionally useless? At what point does someone stop trying to connect with, the ACLU.org because the website is not responsive, because they can't afford a prioritized service? You know, there are real implications here for our ability to have a real democratic discourse and democratic self-governance.
I mean, it's
we
no different. It's no, it's
about this will make the internet more affordable or more accessible for everyday people.
So we do have to take a break here, and Jared's going to stay with us here for another 10 minutes when Margaret Flowers joins us. So, Brent, do you want to have a final thought before we have to take this break?
Yeah. I'll just add, to the extent. Well, unfortunately, this fixation on net neutrality has been going on for over a decade, and it's really distracted the FCC from where their focus should be, which is consumers and competition. And unfortunately, we're going to have to deal with this for at least several more months, and it distracts the chairman from important issues like wireless auctions of spectrum and other important issues like the IP transition of phone networks. So I think it's a shame that we're going through this again. Hopefully we can resolve this quickly.
So we will come back to and Jared has a commentary. When we come back from this quick break, we join by Margaret Flowers. Brent Skorup is a research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Todd O'Boyle is program director of Media and Democracy at the Reform. Program director of the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause. Sorry about that, Todd. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you.
And we continue this conversation with Jared Ball and Margaret Flowers here, reminding you on the way to that transition, tonight will be the welcome home celebration for Eddie Conway. I want you to come out, meet and greet Eddie Conway, the former Black Panther political prisoner. Eddie was released on March the 4th, 2014, after being wrongly imprisoned for 44 years. There'll be performances from youth poets of Dumore Baltimore. The acclaimed pianist Lafayette Gilchrist will be joining us as well. There'll be dancing and drumming for members of Sankofa and Womwork. And I'll be emceeing the event along with Tim Watts, and we'll include former political prisoner Laura Whitehorn and other speakers. Join us at Sojourner Douglas College Auditorium, 200 North Central Avenue, tonight at 6 p.m. We'll be right back. Continuing with Jared Ball and Margaret Flowers. Welcome back. Good to have you all with us here. Reminding you on the way back to our conversation, let Jared jump in to finish his thought and introduce you all to Margaret Flowers, that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to Common Core, you can learn about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at marylandeducators.org. That's one word, marylandeducators.org. And we can continue this conversation. Dr. Jared Ball stays in the studio with us. We're also now joined by Margaret Flowers. Dr. Margaret Flowers is co-director of itsoureconomy.us and co-host of Clear in the Fog radio show and currently protesting outside the FCC over net neutrality. And Margaret and Jared, good to have you both still here.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for inviting me, Mark.
So I want to hear what's going on at that demonstration right now. But let's do that. Okay. So Margaret, tell us where you are and what's going on.
Sure. Well, it's interesting to hear your last guest say that net neutrality is a distraction, because actually it is the mission of the FCC to promote net neutrality has been under attack by large corporations like Comcast, who would like to turn the Internet into a tiered system like cable TV, where you buy different packages and that determines what access you have. We're here to defend net neutrality and say that everybody should have access to what's on the Internet, not based on their ability to pay. And so we're calling for the Internet, for the FCC, on Wednesday, May 15th, when they propose rules, to have reclassification on the table, to reclassify the Internet as a telecommunications service or common carrier, so that they can regulate it more and defend the public's interest. So we're down here. We came down yesterday afternoon in the pouring rain. We had several dozen people outside protesting the FCC, and since then we've set up an encampment on the main avenue side where we're staying overnight. People are mobilizing to join us. We understand that it's already having an impact, that Chairman Wheeler is now saying that if he has to reclassify the Internet as a common carrier, he will do that. The translation of that is, if we mobilize enough people down here, enough pressure to expose this and get attention, he will be forced to reclassify. And already two of the five commissioners, the two Democratic commissioners, are starting to say that they want to slow down. We shouldn't be moving so fast on this. One of them even came out yesterday saying that she opposes a tiered system. So it's really important that people come down here and join us. Even for a day, a few hours, whatever, we're going to be here until May 15th.
Let me just say, Jared, I want to bring you in here. I mean, that's what Mark was talking about. The official new rules will be released on May the 15th, but then it's likely that there'll be a full FCC vote not until the end of the year. So people have time to kind of push this and have their voice heard, either by obviously going down and being with Market Flowers and the rest. You can also, again, we'll put this on our website, openinternet@fcc.gov. openinternet@fcc.gov, write and let your voice be heard on this critical issue. And even though the rules come out in May, it's not a done deal to the end of the year, and people can stand up and fight for what they believe. Jared?
Yeah, and I just want to echo those sentiments, because this has been an ongoing fight. And what I think is important to note, even as as Dr. Flowers and all these good people are out there struggling, that there is the intent of those in the corporate world and of some in leadership of the FCC to let this happen. So I don't want to, so I think it's important that we remember that this is their intent. And to, it was interesting that the previous guest you had on from GW, who was trying to draw the distinction between the Internet and previous existing technologies like the phone, as a way of saying that means we shouldn't have as much protection. I think the distinction between broadband internet service and the phone demands more protection, because the internet is increasingly more and more involved, or the primary medium more and more in how we engage one another, how we pay bills, how we advertise, how we do research, how we communicate, how we get our television, how we get our film, how we get our phone calls, our Skype, et cetera. So it that should encourage us to be more involved than even we might have been over a pre-existing medium, including a phone, the telephone, all of those fights that have previously existed. And because these prioritized lanes are much like the way it went from there not being signs put up that said no blacks or dogs in a certain building to just raising the rent to, 200-300%. That's exactly what we're seeing happen with the Internet.
I'll never forget the times when Miami as a kid, no blacks, Jews, or dogs
that's
allowed.
Right, that's right. That's right.
Margaret Flowers, we have about a couple minutes left in the segment. Please talk to us a bit about what you were about to say. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that we really see this as a defining moment, because on May 15th, what they're going to be voting on is what's on the table that's going to be open for public comment. We need to make sure that what's on the table is reclassification of the Internet as a common carrier, so it's considered as a public good. So this is really our moment to set the agenda for the rest of the year, and that's why we're already starting to move. It's really imperative that people come down here and join us for as long as they can in this, because actually the employees that are coming out of the building are 100% with us. The ones that have stopped to talk to us, and some have even come out specifically to talk to us, are saying that it's so important that we're here. So I hope that students who are huge users of the Internet and others will come down and join us here.
So, Margaret, very quickly, because we do have to get to the next segment here, but I want you to tell folks how to get in touch and how to get there, because this is really important, because we don't realize that what's about to happen in the United States of America is a two-tiered system. We will be paying for the Internet groups like mine, or the show like mine, groups like Margaret Flowers that she works with, the work that Jared Ball does, where we put on parts of the internet that makes it more difficult to get to. The voices of the internet, the democratizing of this nation will be, again, stunted by this ruling if it happens. This is not a minor issue. Not a minor issue at all.
Well, go to popularresistance.org, and there's information there. We're at we're camped out at 1201 Main Avenue Southwest in Washington, D.C., right near the Tidal Basin. So come down to the SDC and find us. We're here. Got a big banner. We're easy to find. We welcome anyone anytime, day or night, and especially if you bring food.
Got that. Dr. Margaret Flowers, always good to talk to you, Margaret. Thank you so much for being with us. Clearing
Thank
the Fog
you.
Radio, and it's oureconomy.us. And my friend Dr. Jared Ball from Morgan State University, imixwhatilike.org. Always good to have you in the studio.
Always a pleasure.
We're going to take a brief break, and we're going to go out with Pete Seeger singing John Brown's Body, Appropriate. On this day in 1858, John Brown held an anti-slavery convention, which was attended by 12 white folks, 34 black folks in Chatham, Canada. The Escape, which was the first play written by an African-American, was published then and performed there by William Wells Brown. So on this day, when we're finding the internet, think about how people fought just a little bit ago. We'll be right back. Stay with us as we find out what's happening in the city paper.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. But it's so...